following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. On the air, online, and on demand. Visit the Chicago Bears Network page on chicagobears.com. And now, welcome to Bears All Access, your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by Miller Lite, United Airlines, and Verizon.
We have got a full hour to discuss a lot of different things happening in the NFL. So what? They say this is the offseason. It doesn't look like it if you've been following the news taking place at the owners' meetings down in Boca Raton, Florida. Zach Zaidman joined by 85 Bear Tom Thayer, as well as former Bears quarterback Jim Miller. And we'll break down all the new rules changes in a way that makes sense, because it's one thing to read them on your computer screen or on your smartphone and try to figure out what these rules changes are all about. It's another thing to talk to players who have actually played the game and can give you an in-depth understanding of what these rule changes mean when you're actually going to start watching games on Sunday. So we're going to do a lot of that over the show. I want to get your thoughts on what you think about all the new rules changes at 312-644-6767. I want to remind you that the best caller of the hour here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority, wins a gift certificate to Sports Authority. So feel free to line them up at 312-644-6767. The other thing that we're going to discuss, we heard from John Fox, we heard from Ryan Pace in detail this week in regards to their offseason plan, based on what they've done in free agency so far and what they're kind of looking at heading into the draft and beyond. So we'll break all of that down. I guess the most encouraging thing is that Kevin White is 100%, and they've missed him, and I think he can be a difference maker once he eventually gets on the field in real games. But before we get to that, Tom, let's start out with the new rules changes. And the biggest one that's in effect is the fact that starting this upcoming season, any player that's flagged for two specific unsportsmanlike conduct fouls will be automatically ejected. Do you like this?
I'm okay with it, because it's just a lack of discipline that affects the entire team. It infects the entire organization. And so if you have a player out there doesn't share the discipline of the other guys that are on the sideline or in preparation during the week, or they don't have enough respect for their position coach, their head coach, their GM, their owners, their organization, I don't care. If I don't want a player like that on my football team, because now you have other players that have concerns about an undisciplined player on your football team that can affect the outcome of a game. And we've seen it happen before, so I don't mind this rule. This is one of the rules that I don't mind enough, I guess, to be in favor of it.
Jim, it's called the Odell Beckham rule because of what he did, right?
It's just another reactionary thing by the National Football League. The officials have always had the right to eject players in a game. Now, the fact that they don't do it is the NFL's problem. You don't need to add another rule because your officials don't currently do their job correctly. Odell Beckham should have been thrown out of that game from the get-go. Why? Because he threw a punch. He targeted another player. His name was Josh Norman of the Carolina Panthers. So to me, it's a waste of time. These officials have always had the ability to eject players for unsportsmanlike conduct. And I think now coaches, the reason why they were against this rule being put in place is for teams potentially baiting other players. Let's say I've already got an unsportsmanlike conduct on me during a game, and for some reason I make a tackle, whatever, on the opposition sideline, and you got the trainer, somebody dumping water on you, or Gatorade, or the weight coach is over there getting in your face. We've seen that for other teams do it, and you get baited into another unsportsmanlike conduct. That's why coaches were against this rule, and it's already in the rule book. Any player who's unsportsmanlike already is subject to being thrown out of a game. It's the fact that these officials don't do their job and why the NFL has to react and put this in place.
Well, that's the thing that scares me, too. You keep bringing up the official. Does it put too much pressure on the officials because they're nervous to call that penalty after they know in the back of their mind they've already called it on this player and that he is going to be subject to leaving the game, and it is going to affect the entire sidelines over there? So I just think it's too much to put on the official's plate. And like you said, Jim, the rule really has been there for quite a while.
That's a great point, Tom, because when you think about the officials, who's the guy they're always getting for the unsportsmanlike conduct?
The retaliator.
Yeah, that's right. It's the retaliator. They always miss the first guy who started it, always. that happens, it's always the second guy, the one who's getting it. So I didn't think it needed to be put in place. It's just a waste of time, in my opinion. And the NFL needs to have their officials do their job, or they should be losing their jobs, much like players and coaches do around the National Football League.
Now, the way the new rule is worded, Odell Beckham Jr. would not have been thrown out of that game against the Carolina Panthers because he didn't get called for two. Vontaze Burfict, who had that ugly, nasty hit against the Pittsburgh Steelers late in that playoff game, would not have been ejected because of the rule, because it was only the first one. Keep in mind, over the last two seasons, 801 regular season / postseason games have been played. Only two players would have been ejected for picking up two unsportsmanlike conduct fouls. Brian Arakpo last year, the Tennessee linebacker in a game against New Orleans, and Greg Little, who was called for two in a game against the Ravens back in 2013. It's very rare that this stuff happens.
So think about this. The NFL won't address the catch-no-catch rule that has affected games. But according to them, it only affected maybe a handful of games. So they don't want to address that rule, but they want to address this rule that has even less implications that you just pointed out.
Jim, I can't believe that their reasoning behind the catch-no-catch rule is that they're going to educate the fans. Are you kidding me? That's your reasoning, how you're going to make the catch-no-catch rule more easily seen and more decisive by the officials on the field? That's a ridiculous statement, and, you know, I was really disappointed in their wording of that specific topic they were talking about.
The Chicago Bears Miller Lite Draft Party is taking place Thursday, April 28th at Soldier Field. Tickets and more information are available now at chicagobears.com. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. Quickly now on some of the other notable rules changes. There's some that don't need to be explained. For example, a team will get flagged for a delay of game if they attempt to call a timeout when they are not allowed to. A horse collar tackle has now been expanded to include the area of the nameplate on the back of the jersey. Offensive and defensive play callers are permitted to use the headset communication system, whether they are on the field or in the coach's box. Those are easy to understand. For now on, you can no longer shot block, offense or defense. That's a rule that helps the defensive players, Tom.
Well, it helps the safety of the defensive players because it's on the interior. You can still perform that type of block. If the center, say the center engages in the defensive lineman first, and then he totally disengages from that player, and now that second offensive lineman comes and gets in contact with him, that's going to be legal. It only is when a player has contact with the upper body of a defensive player and that second lineman comes in and chops his legs out from underneath him. And that's been illegal for quite a while. I don't know if it's going to be more of a point of emphasis or no offensive lineman, even though the defensive player is only one spot away, they cannot leave their feet or go low.
I just know if you follow social media, man, the defensive players on Twitter have been going bananas. They love this. They've been saying, look out, offensive guys, because now I have free reign. We'll wait and see how it develops on the field.
Go back to when Eric Williams cut John Yerkovic in back in the NFL when Eric Williams was playing for the Dallas Cowboys, and he broke his leg. There is reasoning to look at past facts and past plays that do matter in making sure that this block or this infraction is called correctly and incorrectly.
Jim, one rule that I think is going to be very interesting from a strategic standpoint going forward is the fact that for this year, they're going to experiment. A touchback goes to the 25-yard line. What do you think of this?
I don't like it. I think if the NFL is, they're basically trying to eliminate kickoffs. I think we all get it. Concussions were up. They realized that, hey, this is a dangerous play. You got guys who are coming down there on those kickoff teams that are a heat-seeking missile, sprinting 40 yards, and all those collisions that are there. So some, granted, it's only on a year trial basis, but if they're going to eliminate it, do it completely. You know, they just need to make the move. So, I mean, I've been talking about it all day. They should just start the game with a punt team.
Hey, Jim, would Gale Sayers be in the Hall of Fame if there was no kickoff returns in the NFL?
I know. It's the most electric play in football. I agree with you. I agree with you, Tom. But the reality is, out of 1,080 kickoffs last year, only 7 were returned for touchdowns. 7. That's it. And that's really the average every year if you go back 5 years. So just eliminate it altogether.
But then how do you have a situation late in the game where you need an onside kick in order to try and get back into the game and give your offense another opportunity to get the ball.
Yeah, it's called a fake punt. You know, you think about it. You could just put the punt teams out there because those guys are only a foot across from each other, right? It's just like 11 guys on 11 guys. Granted, you got your punt returner and your punter back there. You'd have the ability for a block punt to start a game, return for a touchdown. You'd have the ability because if you look at the numbers of punt returns over the last 5 years, there's 72 punt returns. It's more than double kickoff returns. You'd actually create a more exciting game. So I mentioned last year there were 7 TDs returned on kickoff returns for touchdowns. Last year alone for punts, 13 is double. So that way you wouldn't have the players screaming down there. The punt returner can still fair catch it. So what? You punt at the 40-yard line, the returner would be down there at the 10. If he doesn't elect to catch it, you could down it down there. If it goes in the end zone, there would be your touchback, goes back to the 20. Plus, teams would be motivated to go down and cover because they want to get the returner down inside the 20-yard line. Because the reason why would the NFL put this at the 25, because they know that the percentages of an offensive team scoring significantly goes up at the 25-yard line. Anything inside the 20, you're only in the teens in terms of your percentage to go down, take the ball 90 yards or whatever, and get a field goal or a touchdown. So they should just make the move and eliminate it altogether. Every owner said that down there, that we need to eliminate kickoffs. They just won't say it. They won't say it, but that's what they want to do. So they might as well just do it and have it go away as the dodo bird, as far as I'm concerned, because they're just setting themselves up for a lawsuit. Because they can say, hey, we've done all these rules to make the game safer. Well, you obviously realize it's a dangerous play, and you're trying to take it out of the game. You just won't do it. Well, what's going to happen to the first returner that sues the NFL and says, you guys have just already said you recognize it's a dangerous play, but yet you won't take it out of the game? It's ridiculous.
312-644-6767 is the phone number. A lot of you want to talk about these rules. Let's start the festivities in Lincoln Park. Jeremy, you're on Bears All Access.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, on that personal foul, is it more like a soccer move where you get 2 yellow cards? Does one get carried over? The next time you get one, you're kicked out? What is, how does that work?
Well, it's going to be both infractions happen in the same game, but it is, you know, similar to soccer when you get the first card out, and then if you get 2 of them, then you get thrown out of the game. And, you know, I think there's probably more opportunity for the personal fouls to happen in football than maybe soccer because, like you said, you know, there's, you know, with the involvement of the passing game and how scary they are to let receivers go across the field and get hit in an awkward position, there's probably more opportunities to happen in football because there is so much hand-to-hand combat and downfield combat that, you know, you're going to have to pay attention to. So I think it's probably easier to get them in football than it is in soccer.
We've got to take our first break of the show. 312-644-6767. Got a lot of callers we're going to get to. We'll start with Mark in Jefferson Park. When we come back, we'll talk about the new rules. One of the rules that I really like is how they've tweaked the injury reserve designation for return rule. Now you can bring back any player, just one, but you don't have to designate that specific guy. Immediately, you can do it on the back end. So if you have 2 really good players who unfortunately have to go on injured reserve, you can wait until the back end before you decide who comes back, which is a huge deal, I think, for many of these teams. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. Best caller of the hour wins a gift certificate to Sports Authority. Thayer is here. Soles Miller. I'm Zaidman. This is Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The Chicago Bears Network presents Inside the Bears. It's a unique TV show hosted by Anthony Adams and Lauren Screeden and brought to you by Jimmy John's. Inside the Bears airs every Sunday night at 10:35 on Fox 32 Chicago or visit chicagobears.com/insidethebears to check out show segments anytime. And what I'm told is that this week is an encore presentation of Inside the Bears following the amazing journey Bear safety Harold Jones Quarte took to the NFL. Taio Fabaluje buckles up for big guys in compact cars. That
big
is
guy.
A big guy.
He
I
is
think,
big guy.
Is he not the biggest guy on the team?
Yeah, I think when you look at, you know, size, girth, body weight, the whole deal,
yeah.
he's a big guy.
And as we all know, Anthony Adams is not a small guy. I feel bad for that car.
But he's got gravity working against him. Taio's a lot taller.
Also, meet a married couple of Bears fans who met while serving our country in World War II. Inside the Bears, brought to you by Jimmy John's, airs Saturdays at 6 p.m. on My 50 Chicago and Sundays at 10:35 p.m. on Fox 32 Chicago. You can also watch show segments online at ChicagoBears.com anytime. 312-644-6767 is the phone number here on Bears All Access. We're going rapid fire with your phone calls for the rest of the hour. The best caller of the hour gets a gift certificate to Sports Authority. 85 Bear Tom Thayer is here. So's Jim Miller. I'm Zach Zaidman. A lot of rules changes. We heard from John Fox and Ryan Pace this week at the owners' meetings talking about why they made the moves that they made in regards to free agency and a look ahead to the draft. So it's your opportunity to ask our experts whatever you want in regards to the world of the Bears and the NFL. We'll begin in Jefferson Park. Mark, you're on Bears All Access.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Mark.
I'm just wondering about the draft. So we haven't had a decent safety since Mike Brown, and I'm wondering if there are any decent safeties that might be worthy of the number 11 pick.
Jim, you follow this draft. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, Jalen Ramsey's probably gone at that point. He's a hybrid corner slash safety, and I think it would be too high for any other safety at that particular point in the draft. You know, you got guys like Von Bell, who's a really good safety out of Ohio State. I think that would be too high for him at that point. Cash is a player from Duke. He's the ACC player of the year. Got a lot of turnovers, but it's too high for him. So I just think where the Bears are sitting that early, to me, there wouldn't be a safety that would garner that attention to take at that spot at that particular time of the draft.
Yeah, I think right now, what do you got? Harold Jones, Corte, you got Adrian Amos, you got Antrell Roll. Is Chris Przinski, is he re-signed by the Bears? I'm not really sure. So, you mean they have guys on the team right now, but like you're talking about, Mark, you're looking at that guy that's going to be at that safety position leading the defensive backfield for 6 to 8 to 10 years. And I do think if that guy presents himself in that second round, or that, you know, it's not too high to go for that position. They've already proved with Adrian Amos being a fifth rounder last year that they got a starter out of for that position.
Jim, how much do the guys on the back end of the Bears defense benefit? Because now on the interior, up the middle, the front seven, a lot stronger heading into this season than what you had a year ago.
Yeah, I really do. And I think the Bears have the ability to put the pass rush on, especially if everybody's healthy, a Pernell McPhee in Houston and the Willie Young and the pass rushers that the Bears have. And maybe they're not done. Maybe they add another pass rusher from their standpoint. I just think they're much more stout on the interior and on the defensive line to where they'll be able to, and with the two middle backers that they signed, Jerome Freeman and Danny Trevathan, who's great in coverage. We've brought that up enough. I think that is going to help out the back end of the defense significantly. You know, there were a lot of one-on-ones. The safety is called the safety for a reason. It's the last line of defense. I mean, think about when who's the quarterback from San Francisco? He's running 40 yards for touchdowns. And the safety's the only guy there for one-on-one. Well, there's a reason why, because the front seven didn't get it done to stop him prior to getting to the safety. So I think it's going to help out tremendously from their standpoint.
You think of the division, no Calvin Johnson. Wallace is gone from Minnesota, but you still have the greatness of Aaron Rodgers that could be a deep threat, even if Green Bay doesn't have that type of receiver. So there's got to be a little sigh of relief, but there's going to be new people in those places of those weapons.
312-644-6767 is the phone number. Lake Zurich, Donnie, you're on Bears All Access.
Hi, I was wondering, with all these rule changes that they're saying they're here to protect the players, why can't they adapt the college rule that they have for targeting? So if a player comes across the middle and he's aiming directly at his head, then the ref can review the play and eject him accordingly. Because that would have gotten rid of Beckham Jr. It would have gotten rid of that guy who took the shot at Cincinnati.
Vontez Burfict, yes. Hey, it's a good point, Donnie. I can understand where you're going. And it kind of sometimes it frustrates me in the college game when they do make the call. But when then they go up and they look at the tape and then the cooler heads prevail and either the player is reinstated or else he's on the sidelines for the rest of the game. I like that immediate evaluation, and it's an interesting point to be investigated that you brought up.
Guys, if you're truly committed to safety, I think that's the best way to handle it. Don't you think, Jim?
Yeah, well, I think there's so many things in place now that the officials, when a player is out of control, and I say it all the time, the officials are there to control the game. And when they sense the game is getting out of control, it's not too hard to go to each sideline, hey, coach over here, Mr. Fox, and whoever the Bears are playing, they go over to that coach and say, hey, next guy that acts up is gone, period. That's how you control a game. When Odell Beckham was out there out of control, those officials should have stepped in and said, you're gone, especially right after he targeted Josh Norman. He literally went on a 40-yard sprint to what? Take him out. That's what he did. And the officials should have caught it and had the cojones, because that's their job, to eject that player at that particular point in time. I don't know why they're reluctant to do so. It's always been in the rule book, and that's what they're there for, is to control the game.
312-644-6767, Peoria. Evan, you're on Bears All Access.
Hi there, guys. I just wanted to talk about the 25-yard touchback rule. I think it's a little bit confusing to me. I know you guys have mentioned that they're doing it for safety reasons. And if I think about it from a strategic standpoint, if I'm a special teams coach, you know, all the teams, their kickers can kick it out of the back of the end zone with no problem. But now I'd be a little bit more tempted to try and get my kicker to keep it from the end zone, say within the 5-yard line, and have them try and get out to the 25, because, you know, it's an extra 5 yards from what it was in years past.
I agree, and that's what these kickers are trained to do. That. That's why a lot of the owners and the coaches brought up the mortar kicks. You know, these kickers are so skilled where they can get the hang time on it and basically drop that ball right on the goal line every single time. And it's going to encourage the return team to try and bring it out. It'll be the kickoff team trying to entice that, because you want to know what? A team like Seattle, go look at their special teams. They 9 times out of 10 tackle their opponents inside the 20. And I bring up that number again because that's the line of demarcation. If you can tackle your opponent inside the 20, your percentages of scoring are not good.
Yeah, they go down significantly. Yeah, no question about it. I think the NFL understands that this is not a perfect rule, which is why it's a one-year experiment, the touchback at the 25-yard line. And they're going to see how it goes this season. And I'm just guessing, based on listening to you, Jim, and listening to you, Tom, that this is probably not something that's going to last in the fashion that it is right now.
It's just not an obvious, because if you have a kicker that wants to keep it into the field of play to really challenge your tacklers, then you have to use more of the center of the field, because if it goes out of bounds and you give it to him at the 40, that's even a worst-case scenario. And then I think it's up to special teams coaches, how are they going to reorganize their kickoff return team? Are they going to put more of a talented specialist returner inside that 20 to 15 yard zone in case he gets a short kickoff with no hang time?
Like an up-back type of player?
Yeah. You know, so I mean, because I was in the wedge my entire career, and I did not want to touch a football. So now if you have these different challenges on the kickoff coverage, it may be a time for the special teams coordinators to reevaluate how they distribute their personnel on the kickoff return.
I just think the NFL needs to get ahead of it. They acknowledge that it's a dangerous play. They need to get ahead of it and just eliminate it. That's what they want to do. You know, the reason why I brought that up about the punt team, the game could be much more exciting. You would still have returners. I threw out the statistics. You could have a block punt. You could have a fake punt. If it's at the 40-yard line, you were asking about an onside kick, Zach, you could run a fake punt, and teams would actually come up with more plays to try and run fake punts if they want to continue to drive if they're down by a score. But I just think if the NFL acknowledges that it's a dangerous play, they should just get ahead of it and eliminate it. You'd still have field goals after scores, you know, with what they did a year ago. And so they did all and it'd still keep the intrigue of special teams. It'd actually just become a more exciting play. Because right now, look at extra points last year that's now solidified this year, the new extra point rule. They went through the trial basis. Right now they like it. Dan Carpenter of the Bills missed 6 of them. You know, think about the AFC Championship game. Gostkowski, who doesn't miss at all, it factored in in that game. You know, and I just think, you know, for the NFL, they could do the same thing where they do it a trial basis, and then, you know, then eventually they could, you know, make it a new rule in the NFL, because I just think this, what they're trying to do right now, is just a waste of time. They need to eliminate it and just get ahead of it.
Joseph is in Lakeview. Joseph, you're on Bears All Access.
Hey, Joseph.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to address Jim's punting replace kicking. These punters these days are so accurate that they'll be pinning guys within the 5. That's not what the NFL wants.
What do you mean pinning them inside the 5?
Do you agree that punters are more accurate than kickoffs?
I think the punters are just as skilled. So whether you kick it off or whether you punt it from the 40, you could move it back to the 35. I mean, basically the average punt in the NFL is 50 yards. 50 yards, that's what the average punt is. Okay, so that's why I bring up at the 40 as a starting point, because that's going to put the returner right at the 10.
Okay, thanks.
You got him. I think, Jim, you answered it in such a succinct way, Joseph had no comeback for your argument.
Well, that's the average. The average punt is 50 yards in the NFL. So if you're punting from the 40, the returner would be at the 10. You get the excitement of the return game, because I threw out the numbers of how many punts are returned for touchdowns compared to kickoff returns. And then you've got the element of a block punt is in there. That's exciting. Think about a game that could start with a block punt. Right now, we know it's going to be a touchback. You know, so if the extra point was inconsequential a year ago and they thought it was a wasted play, then what the hell is the kickoff? It's a wasted play right now. Who in the is that an exciting play for you to go to the Bears game at Soldier Field? You say, I don't even care to be there on kickoff because I know it's going to be a touchback. At least now you've made it a play that is exciting and things could happen, but yet you've taken the there's always risk in football, but the safety element of it is much better than what they already know is the issues with the kickoff coverage team. Punt team is completely different and a much safer play.
312-644-6767 is the phone number. More of your questions for Jim and Tom in regards to the changes the NFL has made in regards to a variety of different rules for next season. Plus, what about the draft? You know, I'm looking at another mock draft this week by Charles Davis, our good friend from NFL Network, and he has Ezekiel Elliott, the standout Ohio State running back, going to the Bears at 11. Daniel Jeremiah of NFL Network has Carson Wentz, the quarterback, going to the Bears at 11. And all throughout the offseason, all I've heard from you guys is that the Bears need defense. What's up with this? We'll discuss next right here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The official tablet app of the Chicago Bears, Bears Daily, powered by Xfinity, is now available for free download. Search Bears Daily for the latest team news, videos, photos, and more. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Alongside 85 Bear Tom Theron, former Bears quarterback Jim Miller, I'm Zach Zaidman. We've been talking a lot about the rules changes. Going to continue to take your phone calls at 312-644-6767. Best caller of the hour wins a gift certificate to Sports Authority. Also, quickly now on the draft. I think one of the things that struck me about what John Fox was saying earlier today when he met with the media down in Florida at the owners' meeting, he was talking about how the Bears still need help up front on their defensive line, still need help getting after the quarterback. That pass rush has to improve, and it's not something that you can easily do. But if there is a draft where you can pick up the pieces that you need, Tom, this is the draft to do it.
Yeah, and that's what you definitely need to create a strength up front for your defense. Because of the different styles of teams you play with in your own division, you have to be able to take your defensive front and morph it against Aaron Rodgers, and then the next week morph it against Adrian Peterson, and then go up to Detroit and go against their new weapons and Matthew Stafford. So that's the key element with these defensive fronts that are so morphable, or they have a variety of different things that the strengths that they can show depending upon your opponent. And I think that's what the Bears need in personnel.
And Jim, I look at some of these mock drafts and I see that the Bears, a year removed from drafting Jeremy Langford, 2 years removed from drafting Kadeem Carey, Jay Cutler is entrenched at the quarterback position. So why am I seeing Carson Wentz and Ezekiel Elliott being linked to the Bears with that 11th overall pick?
Man, I mean, when you look at those players, I think they're both long gone by that point. But again, you know, depending on which way teams go, you know, with their selections, it tends to push, you know, talented players down the board. And you get into that situation again where, all right, do I take what we need or do we take the best player available? And we talked about this scenario last week. I mean, think about when Aaron Rodgers fell to 24 to the Green Bay Packers. They did not want to take him. But at that point, he was the best rated player on their draft board. And thus they relented and they took Aaron Rodgers. So things like that do happen. And how disciplined you can be as a coach because a GM and a coach and your staff meeting saying, hey, what if all these scenarios happen? And you try and follow, go through all these scenarios that you're never caught off guard or by surprise, because I think we've seen that happen to a lot of teams, and I'm sure Ryan Pace and John Fox are going to go through all those scenarios, because if they were to say, hey, if Carson Wentz falls to us at 11, would we take him at 11? And only they can answer that question, because sometimes those scenarios do come into play.
Jim, I got to hop back to the kickoff punting, what you're talking about. When you're talking about starting the game punting, are you talking about from a standard punt formation where you're actually receiving a snap from a long snapper and you have that punting configuration to protect the punter? Or are you talking about a punter that has a free kick after a safety or something? What way would you be talking about that?
Nope, you're right. Punt team and punt return would be on there. That way you eliminate that sprint by what's done on the kickoff team, or even after a safety when a team goes out there and punt. Those guys are still sprinting down there.
Correct.
On that punt.
Where that gunner's going down. Yeah.
Yeah, I would like the ability to have the punt team out there, long snapper everybody, Tom, and so you could start a game with a punt block for a touchdown.
Right.
You know how many blocks there were in the NFL last year? 17. So that would double. That'd probably go up to 34. So you're averaging a punt block a week in the NFL. That's, to me, would be an exciting play. You know what? So an inconsequential play like a kickoff that ends up being a touchback that's basically a wasted play now has become a relevant play. You could start the game with a fake punt. Imagine that. I mentioned at the 40. What team like a St. Louis Rams, they've run more fake punts than anybody, and they've achieved them a lot of times. In the NFL on a fake punt. You can start a game with a fake punt. So to me, I know it sounds wild to think about it, but it's a much more safer play, and it'd actually be a more exciting play because there's more punt returns, there's more blocks, all those things are involved that could be an exciting play to start the game.
And here I thought that Devin Hester's start to Super Bowl 41 was exciting. Imagine for the championship to begin Super Bowl 51, there's a fake punt or something. That would be unbelievable. 312-644-6767, Joe and Alsip. Joe, you are on Bears All Access.
Yeah, hi, guys. It's a real honor to be talking to two of the greatest pickups in Bears history, Tom Thayer and Jim Miller. Jim, I'll never forget some of the hookups you had with Marty Booker back in the day. And I have to say, you know, when I first heard you talking about this punt thing, I thought you're out of your mind. But the more I heard you talking about it, the more I like it. Now, to get to my point here, is the NFL chasing their own tail here? I mean, aren't most concussions actually occur during the violent contact in interior line play between the offense and the defensive line? And isn't the NFL sort of covering their own butt here by backtracking on the whole kickoff thing?
Well, Joe, I don't think concussions are a big factor in offense and defensive line just coming off the ball. I think it's more of an open field hit that has a little bit of ground that each player is covering before the collision. You know, but if you are an offensive lineman and you're involved in an offense like we were, our offensive guards, and we pulled a lot. So that may increase what today's, you know, concussion rule can be included. But I think the initial impact of two defensive linemen, offensive linemen firing off at each other, I don't think a majority of the concussions or the biggest threat of a concussion comes from that collision, because you have so much interior hand fighting, so much head placement, and a lot of those blocks on the interior of the offensive and defensive line are going to turn out to be combination blocks that go from one level to the next.
Jim, isn't a lot of this due to the fact that if you just watch the kickoff coverage, that's where you're going to have some violent collisions, and that's what I think the NFL is trying to eliminate.
Yeah, I mean, it coincides with, say, the 40-yard dash at the combine. Why did they take 10-yard splits? Because, you know, think of a kickoff. Those guys are getting a running start with the kicker out there, and there's a 10 yards of separation between them and the kick return team. I mean, that return team is actually retreating. Find that they see that the kicker kicks off. It's not an onside kick. So they start retreating. And now you've got these players that are absolute heat-seeking missiles. And I mentioned those 10-yard splits. Some of those guys can absolutely fly, and how quickly they can get up to speed in that 10-yard distance. But now they're basically sprinting down a 40-yard dash. And as Tom already mentioned, you can no longer have the wedge or the wall in the return game, where guys would just go down there and basically just, you know, dive into the pile, so to speak, and just were blowing guys up is what happened. That's why they eliminated that to become safer, because majority of them were on the kick coverage teams, kickoff teams and the coverage teams, because a lot of those coverage guys, now imagine, they'd have offensive linemen out there creating a wall. And that these guys going about, you know, 20 miles an hour were just going down there and just, like I said, a heat-seeking missile, just diving into the pile, blowing guys up. And there were some vicious, vicious hits. And a lot of players, whether it's spinal cord injuries, those type of things, that's where really that all stemmed from and why the NFL wanted to clean it up.
312-644-6767, a gift certificate to Sports Authority on the line for the best caller this hour. Zeke is in Schaumburg, and Zeke is on Bears All Access.
How's it going, guys? Thanks for taking my call. I just had a question. Isn't this 25-yard rule kind of pointless, because doesn't all the contact or most of the contact happen while the receiver is still determining whether or not to bring the ball out the end zone?
You know, that is a good point, Zeke. You know, one thing that we got accustomed to is you see Mark Mariani, who is doing a lot of the kickoff returns this year, as soon as he put his arms out equally at his side that made the shape of a cross, that meant to the returners, I am not bringing out of the end zone. Don't go into your blocking position, because there is an exact, design return play that every guy has to get in that retreat position, and then they have an organized alley they're going to try to create. And so they don't want to give that up. But when there is that sign not given and Mariani knows he's going to take it out, yeah, it's everybody getting into a confrontational position and try to have an explosive hit against the guy that is covering opposite them. So I do see what you're saying, Zeke. That's where a lot of the collisions are made, but they do try to take the collisions away from the game if the returner knows he's not going to bring it out of the end zone. But it's not going to happen on every kick, and you're going to have the punishing hits.
Back to the phones we go. Fox Lake, Jared, you're on Bears All Access with Tom Thayer, Jim Miller, and Zach Zaidman.
Hey, guys. I just had a draft question for you. I'm a big fan of Derrick Henry out of Alabama. I think he's got real good size. I think since they weren't real comfortable with their quarterback last year, they handed it off to him a lot, so he's used to getting the ball. He's real durable. And I think since the Bears let go of Forte and made a big offer in free agency to a running back, that maybe they're not real thrilled with the guys that they have. How high do you think he goes? And if he's somebody the Bears should maybe look at in the second or third round if he's still there.
To start out, he started out as a second rounder. I think Derrick Henry has worked himself into the first round. I don't think it's as high as where the Bears select at 11, but man, that guy is like body beautiful. I mean, I saw him at the combine. He is legit 247 pounds, and he looks like a 220 pounder. He had over a 37-inch vertical. He's extremely explosive, but he's a tall, angular back, and I think some teams fight that as can he get the pads, you know, low enough, and is his start-stop speed good enough? But I think he's proven all that, and I think he goes somewhere in the probably late teens, early 20s when you look at Derrick Henry out of Alabama.
You know,
he's a good player.
One thing, does Derrick Henry eat in the offseason like Eddie Lacy? Because they both have the same background. They're both from the same school.
Right.
But John Fox is still made the statement when we saw it. We had him on Bears Roundtable this week for Bears website. He said that it's about running back by committee. So no matter if they got rid of Forte and they have the backs they have, it's still a position that they're going to play by committee. So, yeah, you talk about all these attractive names from Elliott to Derrick Henry. Man, if those guys could somehow fall to the Bears, it's going to make the running back position better, but it is a position that it's not going to be one guy feature.
I think you have to look at things realistically, and when you look at last year, they invested a high first-round pick on an offensive player. This is a defensive-oriented staff that needs a lot of help defensively. They need playmakers on that side of the ball. That was the first thing that Ryan Pace talked about at the end of the year in his press conference when he started talking about what the team had and didn't have. They need playmakers on defense. You're only going to get them in the first round. So
That's not true. That's you're going to get playmakers in the development of their career throughout their time in the NFL. You're not going to get the greatest of a player the year you draft them, whether you draft them in the first round or the seventh round.
But you're telling me that in the first round with the 11th overall pick, you can get a guy who can impact the game immediately, especially on the defensive side of the ball.
There's no guarantees. There's no guarantees. You have to investigate the talent that you're looking at and see how they fit into your system. The free agents they brought in, this coaching staff and this group of scouts, they have background that with all these guys they brought here. They know a lot about them. So when you're going out there to draft a college kid, you have to investigate a lot about them, but you're not only going to get dominating talent in the first round.
312-644-6767 is the phone number. What do you guys think? We'll discuss next. Tom's here. Jim's here. I'm Zach. This is Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We are having some great discussions during the break. Tom, all I'm saying is, with the 11th overall pick, that's where the Bears stick, and they need defensive impact players. I want someone on the defensive side of the ball that can have the kind of impact, say, that Kyle Long had on the offensive side of the ball immediately when he was drafted.
So does every Bear fan, Bear player, Bear front office person, decision maker, scout. But it's not always a clear-cut science. And, you know, again, we were talking about right now, if you got Eddie Goldman, you got Jadeveon Clowney in the same room. You got the first pick in the NFL draft that's provided nothing to Houston. And you got Eddie Goldman, who's picked in the second round, that was probably one of the best defensive linemen at the end of the season last year and throughout the season. So I'm saying that, you know, I'm not calling Eddie Goldman a diamond in the rough. I'm just talking about a guy that was picked in the second round.
I just think you need somebody in that first round that makes an impact.
I agree.
Not someone that you wait for. You know, when the Bears had that, you think back to the drafts leading up to their last Super Bowl appearance. You know, Tommy Harris was drafted in the first round. There were questions about him. People were wondering, you know, could this guy stay
healthy?
Unfortunate
knee injury.
Yeah, and eventually, you know, his legs did become a problem. But when he was on the field early on in his career, man, he made an impact immediately. And you know, they drafted Mark Anderson that Super Bowl year. He was a double-digit sack guy. You need players like that in order to flip this thing around. Now, I think it'll take more than just this upcoming draft for the Bears to get where they want to be. But you can't swing and miss on a first-round pick. You just can't do it.
I agree.
312-644-6767 is the phone number. Fresno, California. Duke is listening to us online. Duke, you're on Bears All Access with Thayer, Miller, and Zaidman.
Oh, hey, Duke.
Man. How you guys doing?
Good.
Duke. First off, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. First off, Bear Country here in Fresno. Don't let anybody tell you it's not 49ers, it's not Raiders, it's not Cowboys. It's Chicago Bears. I walk outside my town, nothing but Bears. That being said, new rule change. As an offensive lineman, I like the new chop block being cut. Why? You got to save the knees. I like it, you know. With that being said, how are the coaches, Coach Maggs and Coach Wilkerson, how are they going to, is this going to change the blocking scheme on this new rule? Or how's this going to affect, the run game, zone blocking scheme? You know what I mean? How is this going to affect the run game?
You know, Duke, I don't think it's going to change anything. I think it's just going to be a point of emphasis for offensive linemen to stay on their feet as they're carrying through a combination block. Because every one of these chop blocks that they're trying to take out of it, it starts as a combination block that the two offensive linemen are going to go in. First of all, they have to get movement on the first level guy, the guy that's in his stance, the defensive lineman. And you never want to leave that guy until you have significant movement to go to that second level. And it is the timing of the flow of the football play and the point of attack of how you're trying to create that space for the running back to move. But I don't think the Bears offensive line coaches will have any problem at all with their offensive linemen, because fortunately they're good athletes and they can stay on their feet. And, you know, if you're out in space and there's one defensive player approaching you and you can use that, the cut block, and they can defend against it, this is just, you try to be more diligent about the way you talk about and teach the intricacies of combination blocks up front.
I'm sorry, Zach. Well, when you were talking about that, defensive players were tweeting out and loving the new rule,
mm-hmm.
and Tom broke it down beautifully, because if you high-low a player, I mean, center guard come off and they're, say they're blocking a nose tackle, the center is high, and now the guard come in and chop blocks and takes out his feet underneath. I think why a lot of these defensive guys are loving that this is being eliminated, because there's no umpire back there anymore. Remember, there used to be official back there. Now those D linemen will be able to hold the O linemen a little bit better.
Ah, great call.
That's why those guys are excited.
312-644-6767. They didn't tweet that out when they were talking about their exuberance. Bill is in Naperville. Bill, you're on Bears All Access.
Yes, hello. I have a question. In regards to the Bears drafting in the first and second rounds, well, the first question is, how many defensive ends do they really need to function properly this year? Like, I have targeted A'shaun Robinson in the first round of 11, but do they need another one like Jonathan Ogba or somebody in the second round to I know they got the other guy from, what was it, New England?
Yeah, Keem Hicks.
Will that be enough with Unrein, or do they need a fourth guy, like a five technique or like a defensive tackle in there? Because I'm just trying to figure out what they should do in the second, third, and fourth, but I think they should go with somebody like A'shaun Robinson in the first. But
I like that call because of the position versatility, because other than Eddie Goldman, who is a true plugger at nose tackle, A'shaun Robinson can do that as well. He did it all up and down Alabama's D-line. He's played zero technique, which is a straight two-gap nose. He's also played the five technique as a defensive end because he's athletic. He's a real big guy that can move. And just because Mitch Unrein is re-signed and they got Akeem Hicks, I still don't think that takes the Bears out of that possibility of drafting another defensive end. You still have Will Sutton, and you would probably still want another guy to come in and compete. So, you know, and plus he provides more than one position. You know, he and Eddie Goldman could then rotate in at nose tackle if you pick up a guy like A'shaun Robinson.
You know, Jim, another thing about the Bears defense, you also have Ego Ferguson coming back, and so you do have an array of different types of athletes up there. The unique thing about the Bears and the teams they're going to face, say they go up and they're going to face Aaron Rodgers and they're going to be in a nickel defense more, you can use the talents of Lamar Houston and the talents of a Willie Young to kind of reduce and change the front so it doesn't look like a standard 34, that you can make it look like a four-man line and use their talents as quality three-point stance pass rushers that they can be. So, yeah, you know, it's, you know, great pass rushers, they're like cornerbacks. You can never have enough of them. You know, if the guy's out there, I'm sure Vic Fangio and the defensive staff would love to have him. But I don't think their hands are tied where if a linebacker is an attractive to them as a pass-rushing defensive end, they can get a lot of rushes out of a linebacker position too.